When something looks positive and inviting on the surface, what lies underneath might be less than hoped for or believed. It certainly holds true with statistics. You can be selective to present the result that you want people to believe, or you can do some digging. That way you get the complete and truthful picture of the situation. That's what my next guest is here to do with the latest gross domestic product numbers. Trump administration calls the numbers reason to celebrate. Well, are they? How do they stand up in a then versus now comparison? What economic vision do they create for at least the immediate future? Joining us to help us understand all this is senior fellow and economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Jeremy Negoshin. How are you today, Jeremy?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great to have you back here to talk about something that a lot of people need a better understanding of, because it does give a lot of clues of what is happening versus what is said is being happy. Learn more about what we're talking about here and a variety of issues that the Competitive Enterprise Institute addresses. CEI.org is their website. Let's start with the remedial, then we'll get into a little more deeper into this. What is the GDP? What does it entail and what does it represent?
Great question. So the gross domestic product is basically our measuring stick for how well the economy is doing. The whole idea of it is to tally all of the products, production, and economic activity that is going on in the country and do that on a regular basis, generally quarterly, so that we can keep track of how fast it's growing and how big, and even more specifically, where it's growing and where it might need some support. It's often used to determine whether the United States has entered a recession or is growing really fast.
Now, in radio, we have our rating systems, of course, you know, to tell how well a station's performing. You have it's called a 6-plus number, which is the age of 6 to the grave, basically. Then you can break it down to demographics, and you hunt for where you show up the best and if you're hitting your wheelhouse, as you're designed to do. Does the GDP come with that? Because doing background for this segment, saw a term that some call its core GDP. What's the difference between the general gross domestic product and the core GDP?
So I think one of the most important pieces of the GDP is the personal consumption expenditures, and that is showing what, you know, individual consumers are buying. And that is the biggest component of the GDP, and it's the one that drives it the most. And it's also the one that's less subject to odd seasonal effects or variability. When we're looking at inflation numbers, a lot of times that is divided into core inflation and headline inflation, because the headline inflation includes food and gas prices, which fluctuate very drastically throughout the year. So the idea is you want to look at the core inflation number, core prices of products that aren't fluctuating as much, so that you can get a better idea of what's going on under the surface. And the GDP number is very similar. It tries to cut out some of those high variability statistics.
And when we get to the GDP number, for example, the second quarter GDP was an increase of 3.0. That's talking about what is going to be the expected growth of the gross domestic product for the year at that point in time, right?
That is, if the second quarter had been a full year, the economy would have grown at 3% for the year. That's what that means.
And I mentioned that because if you look at the first quarter number, it was a decrease of 0.5%. As an economist, when you see a number, and that's a fairly drastic flip in a relatively short amount of time, does that raise questions in your mind?
Yeah, it absolutely does, especially when, it's not unheard of to have a drastic change like that within an economy, but there's not really that much going on at this high level, at the national level, that would cause a real substantial change like that we saw. I mean, just for example, I mean, people are, you don't see a lot of unemployment. Unemployment didn't go up real high in the first quarter and then fall drastically in the second quarter. And similarly, you didn't see a bunch of companies reporting huge losses in the second quarter, and huge gains in the second quarter. Like you didn't see that in other parts of the economy. So especially in that light, it seems odd for you to see it in the GDP.
When you look at some of these breakdown numbers, like, for example, the final retail, the real final sales to private domestic purchasers, that's the sum of consumer spending, gross private fixed investments, that increased 1.2% for the second quarter. Compare that to 1.9% increase in the first quarter. The price index for gross domestic purchases up 1.9% the second, compared to 3.4 in the first. And what was the other one? Sorry, personal consumption expenditures. That's the PCE price index. That increased 2.1% in the second quarter compared to 3.7 in the first. With those numbers, does that clue you into maybe a lot of what we're seeing now is actually a slowdown? And we had the getting ahead of things like economic policies and tariffs happen in the first quarter.
Yeah, I think that explains a lot of it. I think, especially with the GDP numbers, I think those have been that headline GDP number is being driven by weird, unusual changes in imports, trying to keep up with the announced tariffs. So in the first quarter, a lot of companies did a lot of importing, and that kind of, it just through weird accounting and how all the numbers work, it made it look like the economy was less productive. So that's why we saw a reduction. And in the second quarter, the opposite happened. Since they had already imported a bunch of products, they didn't need to import as much. And so it kind of artificially boosted what we thought was economic growth. But then when we focus on that core GDP number that you mentioned, it does look like the economy is actually growing at a closer to 1% rate, which is, I mean, it's not a recession, but it's not as high as we would like. And I think it might be slowing down. It's not growing as fast as it was during Biden, the tail end of Biden's administration. It's not growing as fast as the CBO expected it would be at this point. And I think since this GDP number came out, we've also seen those BLS labor statistics, which showed a huge correction in the original numbers. So we didn't gain as many jobs as we thought we had in the first 6 months. And then the inflation numbers, as you pointed out, don't seem to be going down anymore. And I think across the board, we're seeing the signs of a slowing economy. I think it's unfortunate because many of the things that the administration is doing are beneficial to the economy. The deregulation and other rules that are opening up private industry to be more productive, but I think the tariffs are acting as a little bit of a drag.
So Jeremy Nagoshin, who is an economist and senior fellow with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, their website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas, is another clue that there is indeed an actual slowdown in the economy. Does that come to us through how wholesale prices in July rose 0.9%, which was almost, I think, triple what was expected?
I think the prices themselves may not indicate a slowing economy, but they could be a precursor that they could cause one going forward as prices rise, especially if it's unexpected and sudden. I think it might make it harder for the economy to adjust and adapt, and there might be a longer correction that may come of that. And I do think it's an indication that the tariffs are like I said, acting as a drag on it.
For you listening, wholesale prices, that's if you hear the figures tick across on CNBC, for example, they refer that to as the core PPI that rose 0.9%, as I mentioned. That was also the biggest gain in over 3 years, Jeremy. And those, when you take into account, too, that you mentioned the BLS, they've been obviously in the news for a variety of reasons. They've also had budget cuts, layoffs. So for the July PPI report, that was the first since they eliminated some 350 categories from the count of input costs. What does that do as far as the reliability of the number that we see then?
Yeah, it makes it a little harder to know how much is caused by those changes and how much is caused by actual changes in the economy. It is a little bit separate than the CPI, so I think the best thing to do is just keep an eye on that going forward and keep comparing it to the CPI. I mean, the more data you have, the easier it is to figure out whether what's going on, whether it's a real change or just administrative.
So just to wrap up here, if you look at how the administration celebrated, as I said back in the introduction, you can go to the White House website and you can check out their own words about the how they see everything as a positive with GDP and other reports. If you look at that, compare it with the actual numbers that you see, comparing with the tail end of the Biden administration, as well as the core GDP, what's your hope for the balance of the year for the economy?
I always hope the economy does very well. I think that, I guess my hope administration-wise is that they keep an eye on these statistics and don't, even if they're publicly celebrating, to be reviewing them carefully and understanding what is going on under the surface so that they can react appropriately and make sure that the economy is doing well. And I think this is something the Federal Reserve does, and their job is going to be more difficult if prices are going up fast and the economy is not going up, then that makes their decision much harder.
We're going to learn more about this and other vital issues, not just about the economy, but of policy and other areas of things that truly matter. That's why the Competitive Enterprise Institute is around for us to learn from and get the facts from. CEI.org is their website. He is a senior fellow and economist with the Competitive Enterprise Institute, Jeremy Goshen. Jeremy, thanks for helping us get a better understanding and realize the importance of these numbers. Thanks for being here today.
Oh, absolutely. Have a great day.